All right, welcome back to Between the Lines. Coming in next, we're going to talk with Jace Como with Flight for Life. Announcement on Friday that they're going to be shutting down the Fond du Lac and Waukesha air bases. They're actually going to be consolidating them into a new location somewhere between both cities. Why are they doing this? When is it going to happen? Where are they going to be relocating? Will it impact jobs? Will it impact service? We'll talk with Jace Como about that coming up on the final segment of the show. Republicans moving forward with plans for their lame duck session. They're going to hold a public hearing today. The Joint Finance Committee is, and then presumably vote tomorrow on a series of bills. It's a rare lame duck session. Joining us on this segment of the show, Republican State Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam, recently reappointed by the Assembly Speaker to serve as a member of the Joint Committee on Finance. And Representative Bourne, it's a pleasure having you on the program.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on again.
All right. When is the hearing getting underway? Right after the show? Are you holding things up?
No, a little bit later today. I'll be by the hearing will schedule about 12:30, but we do have we'll be meeting with our Joint Finance team here in a little while later this morning to kind of go over things too, since we've all been studying all weekend here on all the parts of the bill and such. So it's going to be certainly a busy couple of days in the Capitol.
Is there what type of reaction have you been receiving since some of the information on what you're going to be voting on has come out over the weekend?
It's been kind of a mixed bag. I was at some Christmas events in the district and stuff this weekend, and some folks upset in general about the idea of the session. Some folks upset about specific parts, and then some people, very supportive of trying to make sure that there's a good balance of power between the two equal branches of government, as well as making sure that we codify some of the things, some of the major reforms the last several years, so that the state doesn't move backwards. So I think for the most part, as people approached me on it, it seemed like it was whatever partisan lens you tend to view the world through was kind of where your feedback came from for the most part.
When the dust settles, do you think we're going to see these bills pass or not necessarily?
Oh, yeah, I think we'll see the majority of the bills pass. Certainly there will be, we're going to have, I'm sure, a long public hearing today where we'll have a chance to hear from a lot of interest groups and a lot of individuals. And there'll be, as I said this morning, the committee's going to, begin to discuss some of this stuff. We'll discuss it more later in the day after the public hearing and before we vote. So I think it's likely that, the bills in their current form will be amended in some fashion, that certain things will change throughout the process in the next 2 days or longer if that's what it takes. But certainly the majority of what we're working on here, and a lot of it is stuff, half of these bills are things that we have already passed. It's the voter ID law that's been in place for several elections now, but some of it's just in administrative rules, and we're putting it into the statute so that the governor can't change it on his own, and we continue to operate in the same manner. There are things that we put in the state budget that Governor Walker vetoed because he didn't want that type of oversight for his agency. We're going to put it back before him again, and hopefully he'll put it in place this time. So it's the type of legislative oversight that we've already voted for as a legislature. So, all that stuff will certainly move along. And then there's other areas that maybe are new to folks, so there'll be more discussion on that.
All right. If you were approached by people who are saying, why are you doing this, even if you disagree with some of the things that a Governor Evers may do, that's part of the democratic process, and that you have to live with that.
Sure.
What would your response be to that person? That this is part of our democracy, and this is you just kind of roll with it. Governor Walker, when Governor Walker was first elected, Democratic Governor Jim Doyle had already approved a contract for high-speed rail, and Governor Walker tore it up and moved forward without it.
Right. And Governor Evers would still be able to do the same type of thing on his first day if he wanted to. I think there's a few things I say to folks. One, it's important that we have a reasonable balance of power between the two co-equal branches of government. Neither the legislature nor the executive should have a larger control, a larger power structure than the other. That's the way our system's designed, and that's part of what we're trying to do here, because I think with some of that stuff, like the things I cited, where we were trying to put more oversight in place in the budget, and Governor Walker vetoed it. Well, we're trying to restore those things again. I think that's an important part of it. The second thing is we're not changing, Governor Evers is still going to have a lot of power. He's still going to have probably the most powerful line item veto in the country of any governor. We're not touching any of that. We're not even talking about that. He's still going to have major control over a lot of things with the agencies. We're just codifying some of the things that we've put in place, like welfare reform, voter ID, and then we're also trying to get more of an equal footing on things like federal waivers, which can cost us a lot of money in our health care programs and things like that, where the administration has to work with the legislature on it. We're going to have to work together on these things. That's what people want us to do. And some of those things, now that he can unilaterally spend a lot of that federal money in things, we're just saying, look, the legislature is supposed to have control of the budget and the purse strings. There's some areas here where that's been weakened, or it's not as strong as we think it should be. So let's make sure that we do work together on those things. And so I don't think, when you look at the vast majority of this stuff, that we're really that out of whack with working together and things. We're just trying to make sure that there's an opportunity to do that. And in some cases where the absolute power was with the executive, we're trying to make sure that there's some balance there.
Would Governor-elect Evers campaigned on expanding Medicaid? That's an issue that Democrats and Republicans disagree on.
But, right.
Is that something that I think Governor Evers has talked about writing that into his first budget? I mean, is that something he'd be able to do as governor, depending on, I don't know how that would work out in the budget.
He can definitely write it into his first budget. And we've already, in the last budget, we've already put in place that an expansion of the Medicaid program would require legislative approval. So that's already current law. So he can't do it unilaterally.
But he could do it with his veto
pen. Next budget, and then, as is the case with any governor, they introduce their budget, and then the legislature and my colleagues and I on the budget committee, get our crack at it. And so he can certainly put it in his budget, and we'll take that under advisement, but we'll write, a legislative budget, and then we'll have to work with the governor, because he has to either sign that budget or veto parts or all of it. And so that'll be all part of the process for next year. But he can certainly put it in his budget.
And then with his strong veto pen, he could probably, in the end, put it back in the budget.
Well, he can't put it back if it's not there. And so if we sent him a budget that didn't have any sort of expansion, he can't write new things into it. But that would be part of the challenge, because you're right. With that veto pen, they can get creative with the words.
Right.
That would be part of our challenge, to make sure that we don't put the right words in there, that he could somehow do that.
What about the other thing that's really caused some problems with around the state, and with a lot of Republicans, including the clerks, and our clerk here is a Republican clerk, and she's the head of the County Clerks Association, Lisa Freiberg.
Yep.
She does not like your idea of moving this presidential primary date. She said it's just not a good idea at all, and yet you guys are moving forward to doing that.
Well, like I said, there's a process here the next couple of days, and so we're going to continue to talk about that. I've certainly heard from a number of the clerks, including Lisa as head of the organization, and, there are concerns about that. I think that, the goal of trying to separate, because everything has become so hyper-partisan right now, And, you know, we certainly know that. I know that personally. You know it, too, from interviewing all of us and covering the elections. The elections are so hyper-partisan in our country and our state. So the idea of taking a hyper-partisan presidential primary off of the local elections, which are all nonpartisan when you're electing school board and city council and county board and that kind of stuff, I think is a good idea. But the clerks raised some good concerns about adding another election, the costs of that, what would need to be done to make that work. And you know, that's part of why we're also trying to create a statewide standard for early voting so that all municipalities would have the same dates that you early vote, and it wouldn't be different in different parts of the state depending on what locals wanted to do. Just like Election Day is exactly the same from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Election Day in every jurisdiction throughout the state, we're trying to do the same thing with early voting to both create that consistency for voters as well as to make it a little bit easier for clerks to manage. So there's a specific window that they have to manage those elections in, so there wouldn't be two elections going on at the same time. And so we've tried to work through some of those concerns, and I don't know at the end of the day, you know, if that one will, you know, make it through the process today or not. I'm sure it's something that we will talk about a lot today in the public hearing.
Do you,
we'll see.
Do you think, and the Attorney General and or the changes that you're proposing there as far as hiring outside counsel, do you expect legal action to be taken against any or multiple things that you're trying to do here?
Oh, I mean, anything's possible. Almost every time we pass a bill that's not unanimous these days, it seems like somebody sues. So, you know, that's not unlikely. I just think that on that legal side of stuff, it's important that the legislature have the ability to defend legislative action. So if the Attorney General isn't willing or able to do it, we should certainly be able to hire our own counsel to defend what was, you know, lawfully enacted by a legislature that was lawfully elected by the people of Wisconsin. So I certainly think that's an important one. And you know, who will sue and what standing they'll have and what the courts will say. I mean, I guess that'll all play out like it usually does.
All right. Well, we'll see. It'll be an interesting 48 hours. We'll see what
happens. That's for sure.
We'll see what happens. State Representative Mark Bourne. Mark, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me.